All right, Tabel say good morning. Today's daf is daf mem. We're going to start mamish from the first word on the daf. I want to thank Michael and Linda Elman for dedicating the shir this morning in commemoration of the yard site of Michael's grandmother, Chaya Sarah Bas David Aaron. We open that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Shamal Havan Aliyah, and the family and Nechama. Shkayach, and thank you for the sponsorship. So let's begin. So remember, again, I also want to thank Yehuda for giving the daf yesterday. I told him he's a lucky man. I've been waiting for like a little bit of agarata throughout the entire Masechta Shavuos. And the one warning I don't give the shir is the one warning that there's such beautiful gemaras on the top of Lama Tesmada. So this morning we're picking up, still in the midst of the Machlokasin Rav and Shmuel, regarding when the Mishnah says atayin l'shtei kesef, that the claim has to be for two shtei kesef. So remember, give machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that ultimately, again, that the amount that is denied must be shtei kesef, whereas Shmuel says that the entire value of the claim must be at least shtei kesef. So we're picking up, we have not resolved that machlokas. We will resolve it in Emirat Hashem by the end of today's daf. But the Gemara is kind of picking up mid-discussion. Teida. So we'll say top of Mem Amud Aleph. Teida. So it says the Gemara, Teida, that ultimately, again, when the Mishnah, now the Gemara kind of switched gears a little bit to also focus on, in general, when the Mishnah speaks about, let's say, monetary claims, is it talking about specific units of currency, or is it talking about value? So Teida, Dikatani Sefer, Dinar Zahav Li Biyadecha. We'll say, go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you owe me a Dinar Zahav. Reuven claims, Ein Lecha Biyadei Ela Dinar Kesef. Reuven says, no, I don't owe you a Dinar Zahav, I only owe you a Dinar Kesef. Utrisis upundionupruta chayiv shako min makveya achasin. So we'll say, so remember again, this case in the Mishnah, which was the latter part of the Mishnah, where I claim against Reuben, you owe me a dinar zav. Reuben says, I don't owe you a dinar zav, but rather I owe you a dinar kesef. So the Mishnah says, ultimately, again, this is considered to be a real kfira. Reuben is chayiv to take a shavua. Why? Because at the end of the day, although I'm claiming gold and he's admitting to silver, but since again we're talking the same language of currency, therefore again I both said this is considered to be a case of modav and mikzas. So iamet bishlama shava mishum hachi chayiv. So I say, if you understand that at the end of the day, because ultimately my claim is for a value and Ravizan is admitting part of the value, then it makes sense. So the Gemara says, Eli Amrit Dafka. But if at the end of the day, if we interpret the claim for a dinar zav as Dafka a dinar zav, then I'm my chayiv. Then ultimately, again, why should this be considered a case of modu b'miktas? I'm Rebbe Lazar. What's the case over here? Bishatano b'dinar mi matbeos. Or I should say, bishatano b'dinar matbeos, or matbas, mitbos. But also the case over here is where dafka, ultimately, again, I am claiming Ruvain, dafka a gold coin. So we'll say dinar matbas means over here, I'm not just claiming from a value, but rather I explicitly articulate the fact that I'm claiming from specifically a gold coin. Look at Rashi, second line from the top, Rashi, dinar matbaos, tivua b'matbea tzura. So we'll say, I literally say to him, Reuven, I'm not claiming for you the value, but rather I'm dafka claiming against you a coin, a dinar matbaos, the literal translation is a minted coin, an actual coined coin. I don't know if that makes sense. A coined coin. Remember, when the Gemara talks about, just take a step back, when the Gemara talks about claiming currency, there are two ways that you could look at that claim. You could look at it as a value claim, or you could look at it as actually a claim for the type of currency. The Gemara is suggesting over here, Rabbi Osai, that the case that we're dealing with now is I'm claiming against Reuven a minted dinar zav. He is admitting that he owes me a minted dinar kesef. So therefore, that's called modem mimitzas. Why? Why? Because we're talking the same language. We're talking the language of currency. So to which the Gemara says, And therefore we'll say that the message of the Mishnah ultimately is that a pruta is bichlam matbeer. Or as we'll say, that once we're talking about matbeos, once we're talking about minted coins, so even though I'm claiming against Reuven a much higher denomination coin, and he's only admitting what? A smaller denomination coin, but that's still called modeb mitzas. Why? Because we're speaking the same language of minted currency. Good. So we'll say, so by the way, this is an important yisod. The important yisod is that, really what the Gemara is highlighting over here is that in order to be called emode b'miktsas, one has to be speaking the same language as the claim. Now what the Gemara is now teaching me is, as long as we're all speaking currency, even if I'm claiming a large denomination of currency, and Reuven is only admitting a smaller denomination of currency, that is called emode b'miktsas. Dekunami diktani shakol min mapnei achas. We'll see, you can see this in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, ultimately, again, it's all called min matbea achas. It's all called one type of coinage. Even though I'm claiming a higher denomination, he's only admitting to a smaller denomination, we are speaking the same language of minted currency. Berav, shakol din matbea achas. And Rabbi said, Rav would have to interpret this as saying that it all has the din of the same matbea. Look at Rashi. Rashi is the second short line, the second of the narrow lines. Berav, the boy the name of Shavek Katani, Rav, who says that we're speaking about values, he would have to say, "Achim mefarish sefer." The kamer shakom min mabeya echadu, kol mabeyos hashniyos kan din echad lahem shavtana shabon yesh bakedei hodal lachayv b'shua. Rav will say, who understands we're talking about Shavek, would say that ultimately, again, all of the coins mentioned in the Mishnah all have the same basic, or all within the same framework of proper valuation for denial of a claim. Rabbi Elazar will say, "Lema." Rabbi Elazar, Lema, me the Seifa Kishmuel Metaris. Since Rabbi Elazar interprets the Seifa of the Mishnah like Shmuel, Reishanami Kishmuel Svirle, he must hold like Shmuel in the first part of the Mishnah as well. To which the Gemara says, Lo, Seifa Dafko Katoni, not necessarily, but rather again, it's Dafko the Seifa, Shakol Min Matbea Achos. It will say, so again, the Seifa, as we just interpreted, is Dafka, as we just mentioned before, Akol Din Matbea Achos, Reisha Kiravo Kishmuel. Rabbi Elazar's model, the Reisha could be interpreted either as Rav or as Shmuel. Tashma, dinar zahav zahuf libya dachav. Shabbosai, this is an interesting verbiage. Dinar zahav zahuf, which Shabbosai means a minted gold coin. A minted gold coin. So a minted gold coin, so I go to Reuven and I say, Reuven, you owe me a minted gold coin. Shabbosai, so again, understand, a minted gold coin in this context means that lemaisa, again, it's a properly minted coin. In other words, I could go ahead and I could use an official coin, right? Thank you, right? An official minted gold coin. So I go to Reuven and I say, "You owe me an official minted gold coin." And Reuven says, "Ein lecha biyadi ela dinar kesef." And Reuven says, "No, I only owe you a silver dinar." So I am claiming against him a minted gold dinar. He says that he only owes me a silver dinar. Chayiv. Bosei said the Gemara says this is called the mode of a mikzas. Says the Gemara, "Taima do amar le zahav zov." Now the reason that's true is why? Because my claim, Rabbi Elazar, is for an official coin. Since my claim is for an official coin, albeit a gold one, and Reuven admits that he owes me what? That he owes me what? A silver one. That's called mode of a mixas. I'm claiming gold, he's admitting silver. Why is that called mode of a mixas, Rabbi Elazar? Why? Why? Currency. Because we're speaking the same language of minted currency. Taima da amar le zahav zahuf. The reason ultimately this is called the mode that makes us is because my claim is for a minted coin. Hastama shava karmali. But Rabbi Elazar would appear that had I not said zahav zahuf, then what? Then lemaisa again. The hastama shava kamar. The Rabbi Elazar would say, hastam without this statement, ultimately again would be a case of shava. Would be a case ultimately again of just plain valuation or plain value or amounts. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi, Hachi Kamar." This is what it means to say, "Kala Omer Dinar Zahav, Ka Omer Dinar Zahav Zahuv Dami." So Rabbi Elazar, Rav Ashi comes along and says, "No." What it means to say is the following: whenever you claim a Dinar Zahav, Rabbi Elazar, that is the equivalent of saying what? Zahav Zahuv. Rabbi Elazar, in other words, Rav Ashi is saying is, when I go ahead and I place a claim for a coin, the default is that what? That what am I claiming? I'm claiming currency. I'm not just simply claiming value, but I'm claiming minted currency. So Rabbi Elazar, this is actually very important. So what this means, Rav Ashi is telling me, the default of any currency claim is actual currency, not just simply shava, not just value. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar, if I claim a dinar zav, Rav Ashi says, that's the equivalent of saying a minted dinar zav, which then means that if Reuven says, I only owe you a silver dinar, that's called mode b'miktsas, since we're talking the same language of currency. Tani Rabbi Chiya l'siyei l'rav, Rabbi Chiya b'osei wanted to bring a proof to Rav, so sela li biyadecha. So I say to Rav, excuse me, not that I say to Rav, I say to Reuven, you owe me a sela, right? You have a sela of mine is in your hand. And Reuven says to me, in l'cha biyadi ela sela chaser beis kesef. And what does Reuven Knenova say? Reuven says, I only owe you, right? So Reuven, I say to Reuven, you owe me a sela. Reuven says, no, I only owe you a sela less two kesef. Two minus two kesef. So the Gemara says, chayiv. So what do you see? So the bride says, you're chayiv. Chaser ma potter. But if he claims that he ultimately owes me a sela less a ma, then he'll be potter. So we'll say, why is this a proof to Rav? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, alma kfiras shtei kesef bayinu. Because we'll say, remember again, Rav is of the opinion, we saw this in Lama Tesla days, that in order for a denial to ultimately trigger a motive and mikzah shvua, the denial has to be for two kesef. So in this case, over the bryce clearly supports Rav's contention, name or Rav's position, namely that the denial must be for shtei kesef. Amrav Nachem by Yitzchak. So Nachem by Yitzchak said the following, Amr Shmuel, lo shanu ela betainas milve vahodaas love. We only learn this, we'll say where? In the case of Tanas Milva Vaudas Lova. So we'll listen to this. What the rest of it is as follows. Our whole machlokas in Rav and Shmuel about the nature or the amount of the denial in order to trigger a modab a mikzah shvuah is only in a case where there is a dispute between the lender and the borrower. Aval. Tainas malve vahadas eid echad. But I will say, when let's say the lender makes a claim and there is an eid echad, there is one witness who supports the position of the lender, then afilo lo tanu ela bepruta chayiv. Then I will say, in that case, even if the claim is only for a pruta, ultimately it will still trigger a shuah. So we'll see here. This so the Gemara is suggesting over here as it follows. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying the machlokis Rav and Shmuel as to what amount of monetary denial triggers a mode of a mikzas shvuah is only in a case where you have a machlokis between the malva and the lova, the lender and the borrower. But when the malva makes a claim and that claim is supported ultimately by an eid echad, that will trigger a shvuah no matter what the amount of the claim. Where do we know this? From my time, dichsiv lo yakum eid echad biish l'chol avon u'l'chol chatos. Because we'll say the pasuk says, an eid echad will not stand against another person. L'chol avon u'l'chol chatos. L'chol avon u'l'chol chatos u'deino kam. So we'll say ultimately again, he can't make him chayiv for an avon, an aveira, or a chatas, or a karban. Aval kamu l'shvua. But I will say, what does an eid echad do? An eid echad can make you chayiv v'shvua. So I will say, what the Gemara now is saying is as follows. When there is an eid echad, the presence of an eid echad fundamentally and dramatically alters the shvua landscape. That as soon as there is an eid echad who goes ahead and backs up the claim of the malva, whatever the claim of the malva is, now obviously we'll say, you can't have a claim that's pachos mishava pruta, right? The claim that's less than a pruta ultimately, again, is not a legally recognized claim. But as long as it is more than a pruta, the presence of the eid echad has the ability to trigger a shvua. V'tanya, and we learn, komakum shishnayim mechayvin osamamon, any place where two witnesses would be mechayiv. The defendant, mamon, eid echad mechayiv shvua. Ultimately, again, an eid echad will be mechayiv you a shvua. So we'll say, now we go weiter. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, ta'anu chitin usorim, v'holdin lo be'echamem. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman says another statement in Mishul. So remember again, we're still in the midst of the machlokes in Rav and Shmuel about how much, what's the amount of the denial which goes ahead and triggers a mode of a mikzas shvua. Now the Gemara brings in another statement of Shmuel. What's this other statement? Well, so listen to this. Ta'anu chitin usorim, I go and I claim against Ruvain, chitin and son Ruvain, you owe me chita and sar, you owe me both wheat and barley, v'holdin lo be'echamem. And Reuven admits one of them. He admits one of them. Rabbi Sayyid Pashal, so that means is he denies the other one. What's the halacha? Chayiv. Ultimately, again, he will be chayiv a shvua mo deba mikzah. So we'll say Shmuel's position is that if I claim two things against Reuven and he admits to one of them, denying the other one, ultimately, again, that's called ishvuas mo deba mikzah, and Reuven will be chayiv a shvua. Amar lo Rabbi Yitzchak, Yasher. Rabbi Yitzchak says Shkoyach. I agree. The Chinam of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan also said Shkoyach. I agree with that as well. Both said, this is fascinating. This is actually riveting. Michlal, the Poligalei Shlakish. Now we'll say, now watch this. So you had Rav Nachman says this statement in the name of Shmuel, that if I claim Chitin and Sorin, and Reuven admits to Chitin, but Bepashtos denies this Sorin, that's called Mode Bemikzas and has to take a Shvuah. So we'll say, now Rabbi Yitzchak says Shkoyach. Rabbi Yochanan says Shkoyach. Now we'll say, wherever we have Rabbi Yochanan, usually we have Reish Lakish as well. Yet what do we see over here? That Reish Lakish is silent. Rish Lakish doesn't say anything. Michlal depolig ali Rish Lakish. They're both saying the fact that Rish Lakish also does not voice his support for this position seems to tell us that what? That he argues. They're both saying, I watch this. This is amazing. Se'ika da'amri mishav v'shayle v'shasikli. So we'll say, so some say he didn't argue, but rather Reish Lakish had a very interesting practice. We'll say, what was his practice? Take a look at what was at the last short line in Rashi. Ika da'armi mishah v'shayle v'shasikle, kach hayadak osho Reish Lakish, kishay Rabbi Yochanan omer davar b'beis ha-medrish, hayashohem ilahashiv ad shigma Rabbi Yochanan kol tzarcho, v'chol tam devarav, v'achar kach hayacholik alav, ubisoch kach yotz Rabbi Yitzchok zeh, m'beis ha-medrish, v'lo shamem nechlak alav. So we'll say, Reish Lakish had an interesting practice, Rabbi Yochanan, very rarely practiced behavior, which is what? He was actually quiet. Oh, thank you. Right? He actually was quiet until Rabbi Yochanan finished talking. He actually allowed Rabbi Yochanan to finish his sentence before interjecting. So what happens over here? So apparently, Rabbi Yitzchak left the Beis Medrash. So what happens? So Rav Nachman says, the halacha like Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak says Shkoyach, Rabbi Yochanan says Shkoyach, and then what happens? So Rabbi Yitzchak left the Beis Medrash before Rabbi Yochanan finished talking. So the Shaila is, he never saw, did Reish Lakish agree and agree? We'll say, by the way, it's an incredible, it's just an incredible yisod, that Reish Lakish, first of all, it's just a din in Derech Eretz. Right, didn't derech eretz to allow someone to finish their thought before you go ahead and you interject. We'll say there's another reason why this is very important, which tells you the guys of Reish Lakish. And I will say, you know, we know that if somebody's talking and you're going ahead and ready to speak, we know the moment that you're ready to respond, what happens? You're no longer listening. You're no longer listening. We're supposed to say, by the way, cloud goggle in conversations. You ever had a conversation with someone? You ever have a conversation and as you're talking, like they're like, you know, or like moving their lips. Cloud gadol, right before they don't say anything, but you can tell they want to talk. Cloud gadol is, if somebody's already ready to talk, you might as well stop talking. Because at that point in time, they have already stopped listening. So the Gemara just says, we don't know where Reish Lakish holds, but what we know is Reish Lakish just wouldn't talk until Rabbi Yochanan finished. So therefore the Gemara says, or other possibilities, Ika da'amri, v'shasle, v'shasle, Ika da'amri, mishah v'shasle, Ika da'amri, mishah v'shasle, v'shasle. The other possibility is, Reish Lakish was drinking a glass of water. Rashi says, "Mishta havashase Reish Lakish may be midrasha, kiam Rabbi Yochanan lo amilsa." Reish Lakish was drinking. So we'll say, as talented as Reish Lakish is, he can't argue and drink at the same time. So the Maaseh is drinking a cup of water. See, he was quiet. He was quiet, and therefore, again, it wasn't because he wasn't. First of all, there are another number of incredible lessons. Number one, I will say, let people finish their thought before you interject. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, I will say, is here's something so amazing. Reish Lakish is silent. So the Gemara says, well, we should interpret his silence as arguing Rabbi Yochanan. To which the Gemara says, no, you shouldn't. Sometimes he's, guys just had me a glass of water. Right? Sometimes he just said, not because it's supposed to be an incredible, you said how so often in life, we assume that we could interpret people's actions in a certain way. Like, I know what you meant. You don't know what I mean, right? If you want to know what I mean, ask me what I mean. Don't assume to understand what I mean and to interpret my actions based on the way you understand my actions. But I'll say sometimes you have to ask people what they mean instead of making assumptions as to what their particular positions are. So the Gemara wants to interpret Reish Lakish's silence as an argument to Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe not. Maybe he's just saying Rabbi Yochanan to finish his statement. Maybe he's just having a drink of water. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, so we'll say that this supports the following position of Shmuel. But the one thing we do know is that Shmuel holds that in a case where I claim against Reuven Chitin and Sorin, and Reuven admits the Chitin but denies the Sorin, that's called Modah B'Mikzos. Tanu Chitiv Haglo B'Sorin. If I go ahead and I claim Chitin and he admits to Sorin, Potter. Ultimately, again, he's Potter. Rabbi Gamliel Mechayv. I will say, the Shitas Rabbi Gamliel is an interesting one. Rabbi Gamliel holds that you do not need a hodah miminataino. Rabbi Gamliel holds that the admission need not be related to the claim. This is Rabbi Gamliel Shita. Rabbi Gamliel holds that would be a case of modah mikzas. That if I claim chitin and Reuven admits saorin, the fact that he's admitting that he owes me something is enough to trigger a shvuah, even though what? what he is admitting is not what I'm claiming. That's the Shita Rabbi Gamliel, to which the Gemara says, "Taima the Tanu Chita Velo B'Seorin." So ultimately, the reason why he's Potter is because I claim Chitin and he admitted Seorin. Ha Chitin Seorin, Hodelo Be'achem and Chayiv. But yet, what if at the end of the day I claimed Chitin and Seorin and Reuven admitted one of them, he would be Chayiv Ashuas Modu Mitzah. So, what do you see from me? That's like the position of Shmuel. Lo. It's possible not. Pasuk and the Rabbah said that even if I claim chitin and seorin and he admitted one of them, he would still be potter. And the only reason Rabbah said why this Bryce quoted the case as it did was to show us the strength of Rabbi Gamliel's position, namely that according to Rabbi Gamliel, even if I claim chitin and Reuven admits seorin, Rabbi Gamliel still holds that there is a shvuas modeh b'miktzas. Tashma, so we're trying to figure out whether or not Shmuel's position is correct. So again, remember, Shmuel's position is, I claim against Reuven. Reuven, you owe me chitin and seorin. And Reuven goes ahead and says, what? I owe you chitin, but he denies this. Rabbi said that is called a shvuas modeh b'miktzas according to Shmuel. We're trying to support or argue on that position. Tashma, tanu kelim v'karkos, odlo b'kelim v'karkos. So let's listen to this. I claim against Reuven, kelim and karkos. Utensils and land. Reuven admits the kelim, but he denies the karka. Or bekarkos for kafar bekelim. Or he goes ahead and he admits the karka, but he denies the kelim. I will say in this case, pater ultimately against the pater and shvua amud base. Hold the b'miktzas karkos. But I will say if he goes ahead and he partially admits, he admits that he owes me some of the karka. Pater. I will say ultimately again that's pater. Why? Because there's no shvua on karka. B'miktzas kelim chay. But I will say if he admits part of the kelim claim, then he's chayiv. Taima, the kelim, the karka. Now, I will say, the reason ultimately, again, in this case, when I deny the kelim, right, that I'm going to be potter, is because this is a case of karka. The karka lav ba shvuai. Because it was a karka is not subject to a shvua. Ha kelim, the kelim, dumya the kelim, the karka, is chayiv. Now, I will say, if it was a case of kelim, the kelim, right, I was claiming different kinds of kelim. And Reuven admitted some of the kelim, that would trigger a shvuas modeh b'miktzas, to which the Gemara says not necessarily. Who adin dafilu kelim v'kelim nami pater? It's possible that according to this brayso, Rabbi say even if he claimed multiple types of kelim and Reuven admitted to one type of kelim, that he would still be pater shuas modeh b'miktzas. I v'haldik tani kelim v'karkos. So why does the brayso bring up the case of kelim v'karkos? Kamash molon dichi hodeh b'miktzas kelim chayiv. Af ala karkos, Rabbi Say comes to teach you that what Rabbi Say, that when you admit part of the kelim claim, right, at the end of the day, if I'm modeh b'miktzas b'kelim, which Rabbi Say everybody agrees, if you're modeh b'miktzas b'kelim, you're chayv b'shavua, what's the chiddush over here? That we can force you to swear even on karka, right, even on karka. My kamash on Rabbi Say, so what's the lesson? Zokikin. Rabbi Say, now the chiddush over here that the Gemara is suggesting is the concept of zokikin. What's zokikin, Rabbi Say? Zokikin says as follows, that when you have a situation, Rabbi Say, which would not normally generate the chi of shvua, once you're swearing on A, so let's say you normally B wouldn't generate an obligation of a shvua. But once you're swearing for A, so what happens? We could devolve the shvua upon B as well. That's called zokikin. So we'll say, where does this come up? There can never be a chiyuv to swear on karka. Karka doesn't generate the shvua. But if you have a claim that includes both metaltalin and karka, then what? Once I'm swearing on the metaltalin, I could be chayiv to swear on the karka as well. That's the lesson to which the Gemara says, but what's the chiddush? Tanina, zokikin es anachosim sheish lon achrayis, lishava aleyen. But listen, we already learned this before. We learned this in a different Mishnah that ultimately, again, once you're taking a Shavua, we could go ahead and literally roll that Shavua onto things that themselves would not normally be subject to Shavua. So again, of us, we learned this before, to which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Zokikin es anachazim sheish anachrayis, lishav aleyen, ha ikar, Hahi agav grora naspa. So what's the Gemara says, you're right. But when it taught it over there, and Rabbi said, the over there, quotes over here in Bab Metzia and in Kiddushin, Rabbi said, this topic was not the primary discussion. This principle was just brought in what we call agav grora. Agav grora, Rabbi said, means it was kind of just rolled in the midst of other discussions. Here in our Mishnah, It is the primary discussion. So both sides. So just so you see what we're holding right now. We're trying to figure out, we're trying to prove the position of Shmuel. Shmuel says that if I claim against Reuven Chitin and Seorin, and Reuven admits Chitin, but denies Seorin, both sides, that is called a Shvuas, that is called Modeh B'Miktzas, and you should be Chayi V'Shvuah. We're trying to go ahead and support Shmuel's assertion by bringing these different brisos, but so far the Gemara is effectively saying that none of these brisos prove Shmuel's points. We're going to keep trying. If I claim against Reuven Chitin and Seorin, and Reuven admits one of them, so we'll say, I say you owe me Chitin and Seorin, and Reuven says, I agree, I owe you Chita. What's the halacha? Potter. Rav Chia says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that ultimately, again, it's Pater. That's not called the Modeh B'Miktzas. But one second. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Yasher, v'chinam Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so we'll say one second. But yeah, we saw before that these other opinions said that Rav Chia's statement is incorrect, that Shmuel was correct, that in the case of Tanu Chitin is honorable, say, and again, I claim against Reuven Chitin and Saron, and he agrees or he admits to one of them, what's the halacha? He's Chayv Shmuel B'Miktzas. To which the Gemara says, Amorai Ninu. So Ali with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi say, ultimately again, we have a Machlokis Amoraim, what the position of Rabbi Yochanan is. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold like Shmuel or not hold like Shmuel? Rabbi say, that effectively is a Machlokis Amoraim. Okay. Tashma. So we'll say, listen to this next case. Tanu Chitin. Amen. Tano Chitin. Another case. Another braisa. I claim Chitin. This is different than the previous cases. I claim Chita. Reuven, you owe me wheat. And Reuven admits that he owes me barley. Potter. Shabbosai again, Potter. Why are you Potter? Because Shabbosai, this effectively is a kofar bakol. Tomorrow's daf will discuss kofar bakol, one who denies complete liability. What's happening over here is he is admitting that he owes me something that I did not claim. And therefore, again, it's parted from Ashura. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you're a chayv. Now understand, Rabbi Gamliel's Shita is an outlier. Rabbi Gamliel is the one who holds that the Hodah need not be mimin hataino. He holds that the admission need not mirror the claim. Essentially, Rabbi Gamliel says, if I claim Reuven, you owe me wheat, All we need in order to trigger a shvuas modeh b'miktzas shabbosai is what? What do you need? Any kind of admission. As long as Reuven admits that he owes me something, even if the something that he admits he owes me is not what I am claiming that he owes me, is enough to trigger a shvuas modeh b'miktzas. To which the Gemara says, Taima. Let's leave Rabbi Gamliel on the side for now. So we'll say, but the Tanakhama says, the Rabbanan say, that if I claim wheat and Reuven admits barley, that does not trigger Yeshua's Modeh B'Miktzas. So Taima, the Tanu Chitin, Vod Labas Orin, ultimately the reason why Reuven is Patra is because I claimed wheat and he admitted to barley. Ha Chitin Usa Orin, but if I claim both wheat and barley, Vahodalo Be'echa Mehen, and Reuven admitted that he owed me one of them, Wabi Nalach Rabbosai, Chayiv. So we'll say, this supports whose position, Rabbi Osai? Whose position? Shmuel. Good. You better give Moshe a big thank you. We're about to start again. Right? Good. So again, Shmuel. Remember, this is, Rabbi Osai, again, there's not a lot to remember over here. Three things you have to remember. Coffee's over there, the Danishes are over there, and Shmuel says that if you claim Chitin and Seorin and admit to one of those things, that's called Modeh B'Miktzas. So we'll say that's all you need to remember this morning. So the Gemara says over here, we're trying to infer from this case that what? That if I claim against Reuven, you owe me Chitin and Seorin, and Reuven admits to one of those things, that is called Ishvuas Modeh B'Miktzas. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe not. You can't necessarily prove that from this brisa. Maybe Rabbi said the halacha is that even if I claim Chitin and Seorin and Reuven admits to one of those, maybe he's still Potter. That's not called Modeh B'Miktzas. So why does the brisa write it in this particular way? To teach me the strength of Rabbi Gamliel's position. Because the strength of Rabbi Gamliel's position, Rabbi Osei, is what? That Rabbi Gamliel holds that even in a case where I claim Chitin and Seorin, and what? Reuven goes ahead and admits I say differently. Even in the case where I claim chitin and Reuven admits seorim, even though it's clear that the hodah does not mirror the taina at all, Rabbi Gamliel still holds that shechayev b'shuas moda b'miktzas. Tashma. So what's it still going by there? Tanu kelim mekarkos. So what's it? This is kind of a repeat of what we said before. If I claim against Reuven, you owe me kelim and karkos. You owe me utensils, movable property. And karka, v'hoda bekelim, v'kafer bekarkos. And Reuven admits the kelim, right? Ultimately, again, he admits the fact that he owes me the utensils, but he denies the karka. Or, bekarka v'kafer bekelim. Or, he goes ahead and he admits that he owes me the karka, but he denies the kelim. Potter. I will say, ultimately, again, there is no chiyuv shvua here. However, hoda b'miktsas karka, potter. Similarly, I will say, if he's a moda b'miktsas by the karka, ultimately, again, he will be pater as well. Because I will say, remember again, there's no shvua on karka. However, b'miktas kelim chay. Rabbi say, once he admits that he owes some of the kelim, then what, Rabbi say? Then what? Then ultimately, again, he will be chay. That's the case of mod b'miktas. Now watch this. Taima de kelim v'karkos, de karka lav b'shvua hi. Now Rabbi say, and the reason ultimately, again, why this case is set up in this way is because it's kelim and karka. And karka doesn't get a shvua. Therefore, Rabbi say again, remember, denial of karka does not trigger a shvua. Ha kelim v'kelim, dumya de kelim v'karka is chayiv. Rabbi say, if I were to claim against Reuven different types of kelim, and ultimately, again, he were to admit certain types while denying other types, then what? That would be a shvuas mode b'miktas, and would trigger, that would be a case of mode b'miktas, and would trigger a shun. Rabbi say, now why is it important for us? Because this seems to support Shmuel's assertion that what? That if I claim chitin and seorin, and what? Reuven admits chita while denying seorah. That's what Rabbi will say. That's motive of mixas, and it should trigger a shavua. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe you can't bring a proof of this case. I'll tell you why. Who had dinafilu kelim v'kelinami pater? Rabbi will say, it's possible that even in this case, if you claimed kelim and kelim, he would still be pater. V'hakamashmalon. Maybe the novelty over here is not in a case of kelim v'kelim. The novelty over here, Rabbi says, is that what? That when I am modeh b'miktzas kelim, and I'm chayiv to now take a shvua on kelim, Rabbi says, what else do I take a shvua on? The karka. The karka. Chayiv af ala karkos. My kamashon, Rabbi says, therefore, what is the Braisa teaching me? Zokikin. Rabbi says, the Braisa is teaching the principle of Zokikin. Rabbi says, Zokikin means that what? That once I'm chayiv to go and take a shvua on the kelim, or as once I'm modeh b'miktzas kelim, because Rabbi says, remember again, one of shach. If I admit that I owe the kelim, so I have to pay back the kelim. If I deny that I owe the kelim, that's called the kofer bakol. And in the case of where you deny a claim in its entirety, you're not chayiv b'shvua, as we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf. The chiddush over here is that when I modeh b'miktzas kelim, when I go ahead and I partially admit the claim to the utensils, I will say, what does that do? It generates my obligation to take a shvua on the utensils. And once I have to take a shvua on the utensils, then what? Then what? We could devolve that shvua upon the karka as well. And I will say, and that's the chiddush. But why is that the chiddush? Tanina, we already learned that before. As the Gemara said before, we learned this before in Bab Metzia, and we learned this before in Kiddushin. Why does the Mishnah over here have to teach me this halacha as well? I think we already learned it once. Zokikin etzan echosim shirshan achrayis, vishava alayen. We already learned about, I will say, the principle that what? That once you have to take a shvua on movable property, we can force you to take a shvua on real property as well. Ha, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Ha ikar, hahi agav grara nasba. We'll say, in reality, in the previous cases, in the previous Gemaras of Bab Metzia and Kiddushin, the Gemara was just mentioning this tangentially. It was not the real place for this discussion. But Dafka here, about saying Shavuos, this is the real place for this discussion. That's why we Dafka go out of our way to make this point here. Eisi, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamu, Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamu raised the kashya to Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba. Ta'anu shor v'holdu lo b'seh. Let's listen to this case. I claim, Reuven, you owe me a shor. You owe me a shor. And Reuven says, I owe you a seh. Or seh v'holdu lo b'shor. Or what happens? I say, Reuven, you owe me a seh. And Reuven admits that he owes me a shor. Rabbi says, what's that halacha? Potter. Potter. However, Ta'ano b'shor v'seh, but if I claim Reuven, you owe me a shor and a seh. V'hodelo be'echme m'chayiv. And I will say, what happens? And Reuven admits that he owes me one of them. He's chayiv. So I will say, so again, there seems to support to Shmuel. Samar le'hamani. I will say, says, whose opinion is this? No. This is Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel. I will say, now, what does Rabbi Gamliel say? Rabbi Gamliel is the one who says what Rabbi will say, that any admission the admission need not mirror the claim. That as long as Reuven is admitting something, that will trigger Yeshua's Modem Mixus. 1 second. Rabbi Gamliel, afilu reisha nami. But 1 second, no. We'll say, Rabbi Gamliel would even hold Yechav in the first case. So we'll say, what's the first case? The first case is, I say, Reuven, you owe me a shar. And what does Reuven say? What does Reuven say? Oh, you got it? What does Reuven say? Reuven says, I only owe you a seh. And we'll say, even Rabbi Gamliel would say, even in that case, Yechav is shomol de b'mixas. So I don't need the case where I say, I'm chai, Reuven, you're chai to me a shar and a seh. And Reuven says, I'm chayv to you a seh, that's Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, even in the case where I'm only tiny one, and he admits to me another man, I'm chayv. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Elohamani. Rabbi says, whose opinion does this reflect? Admon here. Rabbi says, this is the position of Admon. Right? Velo dechui matchino lecha. And don't think that I'm just pushing you off by giving you this answer. Ela tamud aruchu befeish Rabbi Yochanan hamani admon. Rabbi says, rather again, Rabbi Yochanan always used to taina. Whose position is this? This is the position of Admon. Rabbi says, what does Admon hold? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi like a few lines down where you see where the Hagos, Habachis. It's a few lines down from there. Admon he, the boy hodami min ataina. Rabbi says, Admon is of the opinion. He argues on Rabbi Gamliel. And Admon holds that the admission must in some way mirror the claim. Umiu, however, Admon holds, Heichad detanu shnayim hodlo be'echel mehem chayiv. But Rabbi says, Admon holds that if I'm claiming against Reuven two things, and Reuven admits one of those things, that satisfies the criteria of the admission mirroring the claim. In other words, Rabbi says, therefore, again, it would appear that Shmuel ultimately holds like Admon. So again, we'll do that halacha in just a moment. Ravanan says Shmuel. We'll say the following. So I'm going to do it right now. So we'll say. So first of all, we paskin like Shmuel. We pass like Shmuel, and therefore again, the Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch also says, halacha lemaisa, in a case where I claim against Reuven, you owe me. Chitin and Seorin. And Reuven admits, I owe you Seorin, Rabosai. That is a case of Modeh B'miktsas. And therefore, again, Reuven will have to take his Shavuah about the remaining item. That's number one. We do, however, again, we don't pass like Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, therefore, Rabosai, we hold that in order for a Shavuah's Modeh B'miktsas to be triggered, the Hodah must mirror the Taina in some way. Right? The Hodah must, so therefore, again, the admission must mirror the claim in some way. So therefore, if the admission has nothing to do with the claim, there is no Shavuah to make this. So therefore, we hold like Shmuel, like that, and also like Admon, against Rabbi Gamliel. We'll say, just in the other, actually, we'll do the rest, then we'll go back to the original Machlokes, Rabbi and Shmuel. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Hananel Rav Shmuel, Tanu Chitin. So listen to this case. This is very interesting. I claim, Reuven, you owe me Chitin. Now, what I was going to say was, you owe me Chitin and Seorin. But before I got a chance to mention Seorin, we'll say, what happens? Vahodelo b'Seorin. So we'll say, I claim, I say, Reuven, you owe me Chitin. And Reuven says, I owe you Seorin. So we'll say, I was about to claim Seor as well. I didn't get a chance to do it. So we'll say, now the Shaila is, what do we do over here? Because what did we just say? We just said that in order to trigger Shuas Modem Mixas, what has to happen? So ultimately, again, the admission has to mirror the claim in some way. So over here, what ends up happening is, Reuven makes his admission before I got out the full claim. So right now, where we're standing right now is, I claimed wheat, and he admitted Soren. Shabbos, say, in a classic case, or in a classic sense, would not trigger a Shuas Modem Mixas, but yet, my intention was to what? To also include Sar, which Rabbi says, as we just said, would be the halacha, sack halacha like Shmuel, like we paskin. And again, if I claim Chitin and Sar and Reuven admits to one of those, that would trigger Shuas Modeh Miktsas. But he jumped the gun, and he admitted ultimately again before I got to Sar. Now it's a great case. Great case. So what do I do with this? So Rabbi says, listen to this. Gemara says, it depends. Im kim arim chayiv. Rabbi says, this is amazing. So if we see that Reuven is being a little bit crafty, right, that he's being tricky, and then it's clear that what did he do is manipulating the halacha, meaning he knows I'm about to go ahead and claim Chitin and Seorim, and he jumps in to go ahead and admit Seorim before I get a chance to say. It's Im Kimarim, Rabbi Osai, means look at Rashi, Im Kimarim, Im Nirla Bezdin Shekafatz Lahodos, Kedei shelo yitanenu zesorim v'yischayiv lo shvua ba'odas orim chayiv lo shvua. So Rabbi said, if Beis Din sees that Reuven is being tricky, now being crafty, Rabbi said, now obviously this would totally be up to the discretion of Beis Din. So if Beis Din somehow sees, whether they know Reuven beforehand, or whether they just see in just the circumstances, if they see a little bit of shiftiness, of craftiness, of a little bit of trickery, then Beis Din could force him to take a shvuas mode b'miktas. Im miskavein potter. Rabbi said, at the end of the day, however, if Lemaisa, they just see that Reuven was acting in good faith, and Reuven just, you know, somebody made a claim against him, and he was quick to answer the claim and say, no, I only owe you Sorin, then what? Then Potter, then he'll be Potter from the Shavuah. And that indeed is the way the Rambam paskins as well, Bosai. So again, essentially, this is going to be one of these cases that's going to be left to the discretion of Beis Din. If Beis Din sees that Reuven was acting in good faith, then Einachinami, he's Potter from the Shavuah. This is not Motiv B'Mikzas, because I'm claiming Chitin, he admitted Sorin, even though, again, I'm about to go ahead and claim Sorin as well. At the end of the day, he kind of cut me off. As long as he's acting in good faith, no Shavuah. If he's being tricky, and if Beis Din is able to assess that he's tricky, then again, we will look at what my claim was going to be, which was the claim of Chitin and Sorin. He admitted Sorin. So we pass in like Shmuel. If I claim Chitin and Sorin and he admits to one of those, that triggers Ishras Modem. Makes us get too excited about this. Shavuah is exciting. Listen to this. Next case. I cling two needles. This is not a metaphor. Mamish, two needles. Right? Two little needles. So Rabbi said, what happens? Man, and Reuven says, no, I only have one of your needles. Chayiv. So Rabbi said, so that triggers a shvuas modem mixas. Rabbi said, what's the chiddush over here? The chiddush of Rabbi said is that needles are inexpensive, right? Needles are inexpensive. So we'll say, so it's clear that, all right, so I should tell you now the previous halachas before we get to this. The Rambam Paskins, as follows. The Rambam says, let me just read this to you. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Toin, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph. So listen to this. Ein modeh b'miktas chayi shua min haTorah, ach yodeh b'pruta o yaser, v'yichbar b'shtei ma'in kesef o yaser. I will say, effectively, we paskin like Rav, in the Machlokis Rav and Shmuel, that only, I am only chayi shua modeh b'miktas Rav, if the claim that I am denying is worth at least two kesef, two silver coins. Right? Now again, Shvua Modem Mitzvah is only triggered. I have to admit something. So I have to admit that I owe at least a pruta, but I'm only chayiv if I deny a claim that is worth at least two silver coins. So now, the Gemara is suggesting, back to our case in the Gemara. So now, okay, now you know we pass in like Rav. The denial has to be for a claim at least worth two silver coins, but the admission has to be at least a pruta. Now what the Gemara is suggesting in Bosai is the following. That's only true when you're denying money. But when you're denying kelim, Rabosai, any amount, the kelim need not have a value of two silver coins. That's why, again, if I go ahead and Reuven says, I say to Reuven, you owe me two needles. And Reuven says, no, I only owe you one. Chayiv. Lefichach. Yotsu Kalim Lamashain. Therefore, Rabosai, the Pasuk goes out of its way to specify Kalim by the Shomodib and makes us to tell you, Rabosai, that the denial of any Kalim will go ahead and trigger a Modib and makes us, Shuas Modib and makes us, even if Atra Rabosai, even if it's not worth two silver coins. So we'll say, this is an incredible idea. When it comes to a monetary claim, a financial claim, literally a claim again for money, there has to be the claim itself, the denial must be for a claim that is worth at least two silver coins and the emission for at least a pruta. But when you are denying utensils, Rabosai, then it's any amount. Now obviously it has to be worth at least a pruta, because less than a pruta, Rabosai, is not a halachically valid claim. But as long as it's worth more than a pruta, ultimately again, the denial even of a utensil worth a little bit more than a pruta, ultimately will trigger a shuas modeh b'miktzas. Amar Rav Papa, tanu kelim v'pruta, v'holdeh b'kelim v'kafer pruta. Listen to this case. I claim, Reuven, you owe me kelim, you owe me utensils and the pruta. And what happens? Reuven admits the utensils, but he denies the pruta. Potter. Ultimately, again, he is potter. Hodeh b'pruta, v'kafer b'kelim, But Abosai, ultimately, again, if he admits the pruta, but he denies the kalim, so Abosai, so again, I'm claiming against him utensils and a pruta. He admits the kalim and he denies the pruta. Or he admits the pruta and he denies the kalim, chayiv. Ultimately, again, Abosai, he will be chayiv. Chadik Rav, the Chadik Kishmur. Abosai, this halacha incorporates both elements of Rav's position and Shmuel's position. Chadik Rav, Derma Kafiras Taino Shtekas. So Abosai incorporates elements of Rav's statement, namely, that in order for Shua Modi Mixas to go ahead and be triggered, the value of the claim must be at least Shtekas. And also this incorporates an element of Shmuel Shitin, namely that what? That if I claim against Ruvain, Chitin and Sorin, and I admit one of those things, that triggers a Shvuas Moda Mitzvah. Therefore, Rabosai, in this case over here, where I claim against him a Pruta and Kalim, Pruta and Kalim, even though he's only admitting to one of them, that triggers the Shemol Demitza. So, Rabosai, so halacha lamaisa, we emerge today with the following halachas. Number one, we paskin like Rav and the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, Lamatessa, Mabez, namely, that in order ultimately again for Shemol Demitza to be triggered by a financial claim, the denial must be for a claim that is worth at least 2 silver coins, with the admission being for at least a Pruta. That's number one. The exception to that rule, Rabosai, is where the claim is just for kalim. When it comes to kalim, Rabosai, as long as the kli is worth at least a pruta, then lamais again that could trigger a shuas mode of mitzvahs. Number two, we paskin like Shmuel, which tells you what, Rabosai, that in a case of where I claim chitin and saorin, and Reuven admits to one of those things, that what's the halacha, Rabosai? That is a shuas mode of mitzvahs. And number three, we paskin against Rabbi Gamliel like Admon, namely, that in order for a Shua Moda Mixas to be triggered, what has to happen, Abosai? The admission must mirror some element of the claim. But if the admission itself does not mirror any part of the claim, that is not called Shua Moda Mixas, and ultimately, again, there's no Chiyoshua. Shkach, Abosai, we'll stop over here for today. Yeah.